Well, hello there, and welcome to day three of the Building Apps for Windows Phone 8.1 Jumpstart. If you've been with us out there on the interwebs all the way through this, a hat's off to you. We clearly have been here all the way through this. We're still here. Third day of this. Yeah. It's a lot of fun. We've been covering a lot of stuff. We are going to got a few sessions for you this morning just to round things off. We got one that has been bumped over from yesterday, the end of yesterday, because we got a little bit behind schedule. So today we're going to be running through a few sessions on tools, on the store, on building universal apps, and one specifically for Silverlight 8.1 developers.
Yeah. So I guess we can do our beginning of the day introduction. Of each other.
Yeah. So first of all, I'm Andy Wigley. You've probably heard all this if you've seen any of the other days. I work out of the UK. I'm a technical evangelist. I've been specialising in mobile for a great many years, and hopefully you've seen me at conferences and the like.
And I am Matthias Shapiro. I am a program manager and technical evangelist here at Microsoft, and I've been working with XAML since forever. And I just generally try to connect. Devices to other devices, and that's kind of what I do for fun. So
if you've missed what we've been doing for up till now, all these have been recorded. This is what we've been working on. Building apps for Windows Phone 8.1, we started with an intro, and then we had this kind of mini course where we ran through building a UI using the Windows runtime flavor of XAML, which is the new XAML stack, the one that's converged from down from Windows. So we've now got a common XAML framework, and you can really easily build apps sharing a high percentage of your code. In fact, you showed an app yesterday that shared all of its code, apart from just the package manifest was about the only thing that was different. So lots of convergence there. We looked at data storage, backup and roaming, and sharing files and data at the end of day one. And then on day two, we went on to talk about all sorts of interesting topics. Can you put me on to day two?
Yeah, sorry.
Thank you.
There you go.
Thank you very much. Yeah, these are all Windows Runtime APIs that are available to Windows Phone 8.1 and also to Silverlight 8.1 developers. Loads of cool stuff, new background tasks, the maps and geofencing, loads of cool stuff around networking and authentication, web authentication broker. Super story around tiles and notifications, cool new stuff in NFC and Bluetooth, the email with attachments module, otherwise known as contacts and appointments. Absolutely awesome video editing and camera stuff. We had a guest in, Matthijs Hoekstra, who talked us through the enterprise story for Windows Phone 8.1. Awesome story there as well. And then we rounded up with a short session looking at how you could use SQLite. And that brings us to today, where we're going to be looking at some of the new tooling we've got, app packaging and submitting to the store, looking in a bit more depth at building universal apps, and finally, specific topics aimed at our existing Silverlight app developer community and things they have to think about when retargeting Silverlight apps to Silverlight 8.1.
Okay. And that brings us to the big session for today, or the starting point. It's the big session because it's the one I'm doing. it's tooling and diagnostics. So we're going to cover some of the new features we have available in the tooling, and some features that you might not have known were there, but are useful and helpful for building applications. We're going to have a little bit of a focus on universal apps, but we're also going to cover some more tooling specific to universal applications in our universal application session. So in this module, we're going to look at Visual Studio tooling, specifically some of the universal application project tooling, some of the great XAML tooling that we have available. We're going to touch on Blend, and originally I had more of Blend because Blend is a fantastic tool, but unfortunately we've just got some time to deal with.
Yeah.
But we will show off a little bit of the cool web debugging that we have available. And then I'll do a lightning fast overview of the Windows Phone emulator. We've been looking at the emulator as we've been going along, so I'm going to touch on just the pieces that we've missed. And then I'll show the diagnostics and memory profiling tools we have available, and end up with just a couple fun debugging tips and tricks. So start with Visual Studio tooling for C Sharp. The first big addition to Windows 8.1, or the Visual Studio update to RC, or if you're watching after we've gotten past RC, the update too, is we have the Universal Application Templates. These are this is three projects in a single solution, a Windows 8.1 project, a Windows Phone 8.1 project, and a shared project. And the shared project is really nothing more than a bunch of files that can get pulled into both of the other projects and then compiled alongside. There's a lot of cool stuff. We can switch code contexts inside of our application, inside of our files. And when we do switch the code context from a Windows Phone application to a Windows 8 application, the IntelliSense will warn us if we have a piece of code or a file that's living inside of our shared project. IntelliSense will warn us if that code is platform specific. So if we accidentally start writing any sort of code that only is going to work on Windows Phone or only works on Windows, IntelliSense will let you know, hey, this is a platform specific piece of code. You're going to have to deal with that.
I had a giveaway there. Wasn't that the namespace on that slide snippet? Wasn't it Windows.phone.ui?
Right.
It's like,
right.
Okay,
well,
maybe that's one for phone. Yeah.
But IntelliSense will also show us the information
in case you missed that obvious clue.
Right. Yeah. Right. Or perhaps you're pulling a file in from another project.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Right.
I'm joking.
But yeah. So it's really easy to do that project context switching. You see, at the top of every file, you're going to have this context, and there's a little drop down, and you can point it to Windows Phone or the Windows application and say, hey, I'm in this context now. We have universal project targeting, and that's just a quick and easy way to start up our universal projects. You can click on the drop down menu and use that to just pick your startup project right there, switch back and forth between Windows 8.1 and Windows Phone 8.1. This is enabled for all the store platforms, and it's enabled for if you have more than one app project in your solution. If you're just a crazy person and you want to launch both applications at the exact same time, there's actually a property in the solution where you can go in and you can do multiple startup solutions, and then when you hit F5, it's just going to, boom, run both applications at the exact same time. It's pretty cool. That's a bit of a lightning run, and we'll look at some of this in a demo. But there's also some great tooling around XAML that we have new. We have a split design. So if you're familiar with XAML in Visual Studio, we have a split design XAML view that allows you to take a look at your code as well as what your code is going to look like at runtime. We have there's a great control toolbox where you can drag and drop controls from the toolbox right onto your XAML page. A document outline so you can see what the visual tree of your XAML application looks like. And then a properties pane with a great little search option so you can select a control and change the properties visually right there inside of the IDE. XAML also has that view context switching. So you can have an application or have a screen that is targeted for Windows and for Windows Phone. And when you switch the context, it'll actually switch all of the context inside of the design view. And so what you see here is we've got a page, and on that page we have a date time or a date picker, and when we switch the context from Windows to Windows Phone, the date picker switches because it's a different looking control on Windows Phone as it is on Windows, and so we'll be able to see those differences shift right inside of our design pane without even running the application. We can also navigate our XAML using that little app, the little toolbar at the top of our XAML. In addition to doing the context switching, there are also options to view whatever element we have selected. We can look at this dropdown and view its entire parent history in the visual tree. And on the far right, you see we have a dropdown where we can view all of the set properties that we have on that control. So it's just a really quick and easy way to find out what context we're in, look at where our control exists inside of our XAML document, and then look at all the properties that we've set explicitly. We've also got some really great new XAML IntelliSense available. We have Resource IntelliSense, which shows all the available resources for UI elements. So all you need to do is you say, my property equals, and then see theme resource, or you could say static resource, and it'll pull up all of the resources that are available for whatever element you're trying to pick. I've been using this like crazy because it's extremely helpful, very, very useful. We also have binding IntelliSense. This will show all the properties available inside of the current data context, and all you have to do is do an open curly braces binding, hit space, and then all of your available properties are right there for you. The one trick with this is if you're binding to an object or view model, then you're going to want to set up your bindings objects as resources in your application, your app.xaml. So that would be going into your application resources, probably creating a new namespace, and then adding that object as a resource inside that app.xaml.
So that's if you're setting up your data context in code, you kind of got code that's getting an object, and just setting it in code, clearly that's not going to be of any help to you at runtime.
Right.
So you've got to kind of figure out how you're going to...
Yeah, this is all about helping the XAML parser inside of Visual Studio understand where to go find all of those properties.
Because it needs to figure out, reflect on that object and find out what the properties are so it can give you that list.
Yep.
And then, it's helpful, really helpful if you...
Oh, it is. It saves a lot of time. It's just great. IntelliSense is great. Everybody loves to use IntelliSense. Yeah. It's nice to just kind of scroll through a list of properties and say, I want that one.
And the trouble with XAML is it's just text, isn't it? So if you were typing it in, you can get typos and your binding's not working. So it's really helpful.
Yeah. So the last part of that puzzle is to set the data context in your XAML. And so you set your binding objects as resources, data context in your XAML. And the great thing is that you can actually use the static resource IntelliSense to find that VM, or that view model. And then the last cool thing is we have this new right-click and go to definition. And so you can do this on resources or on bindings. If you do it on resources, it'll open the XAML where that resource is defined. If you do it on bindings, it's going to open the bound object class. And finally, XAML device pane, where we can change the display size of our device pane. We can change the axis and theme. If you watched us through this series, then you've watched us using this quite a deal, and you're going to see it again with the demo that's coming up here. Okay, so this is a real simple little application. I'm going to run the Windows 8.1 version very, very quickly. Everything's very quickly. It's already installed in this machine. Yes. Okay. What this is doing is it's going and it's grabbing all the pictures in our pictures library, and it's going to show them up here. And it's inside a list view. We can scroll and we can click on one of them. And we can see that image nice and big. Head back and look at another image. It's just a great little image browser for our application, or for our desktop. So that's great. That's fun. But it's also a universal application. And this is one of those pure universal applications, which you're probably not going to see a lot of in real life, but it makes for a great demo, where everything that you saw here, the view models, the view model, which is loading up all of our images, and the image view pane and the main page is just a two-page application back and forth with the back button, the software back button there. Everything here is living in the shared project. And so we saw that we had that working. And we can run it as a Windows Phone project. So let me do that using the tooling that I just showed you. And we're going to run that on our device. And switch over. Okay, here we go. Should be coming up any second here. Here we go. Okay. So here it comes on our device. And you see, I actually don't have a lot of pictures here. And the reason I don't have a lot of pictures here is because I'm pulling from the pictures library. And on a phone, we don't store most of our photos in the pictures library. We actually store most of our photos in the camera roll. So this is a great opportunity for us to use a tooling feature known as ifdefs or compiler conditionals. And basically, simply, we do this hash if, and we can say, if we're using the Windows application, pull your pictures from your pictures library. And that's because that's where we're storing all of our pictures. If we have a tablet or if we have a desktop, we're much more likely to be storing all of our pictures in our pictures library. Whereas if we have a Windows Phone application, we're probably storing our pictures in our camera roll. So now if we run that application on the phone, it's going to pull pictures from our camera roll, and you see, okay, here's actually a pile of pictures that I have. So I can go into one of those pictures. Oh, and it looks like I've got an exception. It's a XAML parse exception. Where's that coming from? It's probably coming from our image view page because that's the only other XAML page in the application. What's happening there? What is happening is that we are using a software back button, and it's got a style navigation back button style. And if we switch our tooling over from our Windows application to our Windows Phone application, Okay. You can see this resource can't be resolved because it's not a resource that lives on Windows Phone. It only lives on Windows. And so we could actually apply this resource in the background. We could use a visual style manager to make all of this work nice and cleanly. But what we're going to do instead is just get rid of this button for now. And we're going to insert it in the background or in our code behind here. And so here you see, I'm going to switch back to our Windows context. And you see I've got all of my code highlights or colors appropriately. And I'm just creating that button in the code behind. I'm adding the command, the go back command. And I'm adding the appropriate resource. And then I add that button as a child to the container that was holding it, the Windows back button border container. So that'll run as a compiler conditional element if I'm running in Windows, and if I'm running in Windows Phone, I'm just going to make that element go away. So we're going to run that application again. We're going to pick another image. And now it runs, and I don't need a software back button because I have a hardware back button. So I press the hardware back button, and everything works exactly the way I want it to work. So I'm going to show XAML IntelliSense so you can see it working. But I am running the clock real tight, and I want to get to diagnostics because that's really important. So you can see we've got a set of static. We've got some resources that we're using for item template. If we do static resource and we hit space, we can just select those. And the same thing with the bindings, because this page is bound to to my data context, and my data context is defined in my app.xaml, I can just say, okay, well, inside the data context, I have some selected image property, I've got some image files, I've got some images, so I'm just going to select that bound property. You've seen it working, you don't need any more convincing that it does work, so in the interest of time, we're going to jump back into our presentation and walk through the next bits. I would love to show you Visual Studio Blend. I wish we had time. We simply do not. It's a great tool. I very much encourage you to go in and take a look at it. It's got a great XAML. It's a great XAML design and visual editing tool. Now I know you're saying I've got a visual design tool in Visual Studio. Yes, but Blend is better. They're actually running largely on the same engine, but Blend has a couple great features that you might not know about. It's got an animation builder. If you're putting together some animations inside of your XAML, Blend makes that really easy. It's got a control state editor, and we're going to look at that in the Universal project demo. You can create sample data really easily. It's really incredible. And you can also, if you're really on the design side of things, you can create these alignment guides for your application and say, well, everything needs to align just such a way. You define that in one app, on one page, and you can export it and import it to other pages to make sure that all your pages fit the exact same alignment guides. We also have an IE debugger, which you can get to by going to debug, down to the other debug targets, and just open up the debug Windows Phone Internet Explorer, and then you can navigate to a website and debug that website using all of your IE F12 tools, the JavaScript console and the DOM Explorer. It's incredibly powerful. It's a great way to do website debugging for the phone. I wanted to show that. We don't have time. I am sorry. Rushing through the Windows Phone emulator. I can't even tell you how much stuff I cut for this. Windows Phone emulator is a virtual machine, requires Hyper-V. It emulates screen resolutions of physical size. You've been seeing that, hopefully, if you've been watching us over the last 2 days. It allows this touch pass-through. If you have a touchscreen device, all the touches that you do on your device are going to pass through to the emulator. It can do multi-touch simulation, rotate emulation, and more tools. The two that I want to call out because we haven't looked at them is the accelerometer tool. You can drag the red dot on that tool to change the accelerometer readings. It's a great way of emulating your accelerometer. And also, we have sensor simulation. So we can toggle the sensor availability. And this is great if you're using gyroscope and you want to make sure that using gyroscope doesn't break your application on a phone that doesn't have it. Or NFC, if you're using NFC, making sure the appropriate things are being hidden or being or not being used. Location simulation is fantastic. You can change the accuracy of your location, create routes with geolocation, save and load geolocation sets, and you should go to session 12 to see more of that in action. Network simulation is also fantastic. Fast and slow networks, go to session 13, network and mobile services. SD card emulation, you can mount and eject SD cards and see how your application responds to that. Go to session 9, data storage and data roaming. notification
like
simulation. All right, notification simulation. We did a lot of this. We did notification simulation in the emulator in session 14, Tiles Notification Action Center. Go there to check out all the notifications.
And in session 3, watch Matthias scratch his nose.
Right. And then there's the Windows Phone Power Tools, which we haven't shown and we don't have time for, but it's essentially like your task manager, but it attaches to your emulator, and you can see the CPU usage, you can see the memory, and this isn't just for your application, this is for the whole device. So this is a great tool. You can just do a search for a quick search, either in Visual Studio, or you can even, it's a standalone application. You could just do a search for it on your device in general. So, diagnostics and memory profiling. We have a really incredible diagnostics tool for recording CPU usage, energy consumption, memory usage, and XAML and UI responsiveness. You just go down from the debug menu down to performance and diagnostics, and you can check those checkboxes. Some of them run exclusively, so you can't run CPU usage alongside memory usage. But you could run CPU usage alongside XAML UI responsiveness. And there's really no better way to do this, to talk about the diagnostics tool, than to just show it. So let's show it. Okay, we're gonna go ahead and just pull. We're gonna pull that diagnostics up. Normally, if I had a good amount of time, I would. What I'd do is I'd run the application. You'd be able to see how unresponsive it is, and then we'd run the diagnostics tool and check it again. But we're just gonna go ahead and jump straight into the diagnostics tool. You don't want to hit play on your device. to run these diagnostics, you want to scroll down here and hit Start. And that'll attach to the diagnostic session. You always want to be running diagnostics on an actual device and not on your emulator, because your emulator is not at all giving you a real-world view of the sort of performance that you're going to want to be looking at and double-checking. So I could start counting now. 1, 2, 3. But I think we probably get the idea already that this is not a particularly responsive application when it first starts up.
It's an underwhelming experience, though.
Right. So apparently it has something to do with photo filters. I can see that from the title. And it has a progress bar, so that's encouraging. Now we've got a... you see, this looks dangerously similar to my last demo.
It's even less performant.
But it's less performant. And so you can see this, our CPU utilization there. It goes up when we tap into an image. It's going to go up again when we run a filter. You see that filter is stuck, and so we've got some XAML responsiveness issues there. CPU usage goes up again. Okay, that's going to be good enough for now. We're going to stop our collection. And fortunately for us, this takes a lot of time too, so I'm just going to pull up a diagnostic session. It saves all these diagnostic sessions so you can go back and look at them later. I'm just going to pull up one that I've recorded previously. Here we can actually select just a portion of our application, our application session, and say, you know, it looks like this is where I had all of my trouble. So let's just grab that, and our CPU usage and XAML UI responsiveness is going to look at just that part. You can see it changing dynamically as I select these different chunks. So we're going to look at this part. The CPU usage looks at all of the methods that were called and that used up CPU time in this particular chunk of our application. And we can see that most of that was being used by external code. That's a normal thing to happen. That basically just means that the XAML framework was taking all those resources and trying to do some stuff with them.
Stuff out of your hands.
Right. And so.
But
this
it could be. You've given it stuff to kind of handle and process.
And that's exactly what we've got here. So we're going to take our XAML. We're going to look at our XAML UI responsiveness. And you can see. Okay, looks like most of the time was being taken up by this controls.group item, and we can drill down into this. Okay, we've got one group item there. It looks like an items control was taking up all that. It was an items presenter, and why was that? Oh, what is this? These are list box items, and this is the amount of time it took to render those list box items. Now, on that screen, we probably saw 12 to 15 items at a time. We got a little more than that here, and each one of them takes... takes some time to load, and it looks like it was loading all of them. So
you've rendered a 3,000 item.
Right, I've actually
12 of them.
Yeah, I've rendered something like 160 images here.
All right.
And so let's. Fortunately for us, I know where the problem is, and the problem is in the fact.
You do surprise me.
All right. If I can remember where I put the problem, I think it's in the main page. The problem is in the fact that I have artificially disabled list virtualization. So let's actually go ahead and re-enable list virtualization. I find that most of my debugging problems are usually just Booleans that I forgot to switch from true to false. And we'll be able to see that if we run this application again. I don't have the diagnostics tool attached, but that doesn't matter.
You'll be able to see the perf.
We'll be able to see the perf difference.
Yeah.
That was substantially faster than it was before.
So, because it's not having to take all your objects and figure out what groups to put them into and all that group sort of source. Group sorting, and you've immediately got a huge perf. Because you don't need groups in that. There's no group headers.
So. Right. Yeah. So it's instead of rendering every single item that I have, it just runs just runs the ones that it needs to see, and virtualization is working appropriately. Okay. I wish I had more time. Oh goodness, but we're gonna do one more diagnostics. One more diagnostic session. It's in debug. And then we're gonna call it a day here on the diagnostics and tooling session. There is a great diagnostic session at build. I encourage you to go look that up because that is a substantially larger view of the diagnostics and tooling. So the way diagnostics and tooling works is it's fairly simple. You take a snapshot of our application. Okay, now it says, okay, I've got a memory snapshot of your application right there. And we can open up a bunch of images. Oh, let me show you what I'm doing. Here we go. I'm opening up a bunch of images. That one, and that's a nice little image. We'll run a filter on it. A couple more images. And you see that, actually, it looks like my memory is going up and down appropriately. So I probably have already fixed this problem. I'm just going to point out a couple of things. It looks like I don't have a lot of memory problems, so you're not going to be able to see the big differences that happen in between snapshot 1 and snapshot 2. I'm going to pull up my memory leak, my previous memory leak diagnostic. Oh, it's disappointing. There's a red line that you saw before, and the red line was the memory cap limit that we have on the application. It was an indication of if your memory goes above that limit, you can watch it in your diagnostic session. You can actually watch your memory hit the cap, and if you're running on a low-end device, you can redefine that red line to be low-end device, mid-range device, high-end device. When you take two snapshots, the way that you look at the differences of the snapshots is that you can see we've got a managed heap and then we have a full heap. And the second snapshot basically says, okay, here's the difference. Here's the first snapshot is our baseline. The second snapshot says this is the memory change in between the first snapshot and me. And you can take multiple, so you can take three or four or five snapshots and compare them to the different baselines. In this case, this was my artificial memory leak inside of the application. I just want to dig into this quickly so that we can see that we get a count difference when we clicked on that red 15, and the count difference shows us how many instances of all of our objects we have in between the first snapshot and the second snapshot. And so in this particular instance, we can see, okay, we've got a button that we might not have expected because in between that first snapshot and the second snapshot, we actually hadn't, there were no buttons on that page. But we can interrogate that button, and in this case, we're interrogating to find out why that button hadn't closed. And we can actually dig all the way down into things like, it hadn't closed because you had a window size changed event handler that was keeping an entirely separate page open that whole time. I hadn't fixed the demo before I came here, we'd be able to come in here and see that if we had kept this commented out, then we would have had an application where we're attaching an event handler, but we never deattach the event handler, and that just keeps the page alive, multiple instances of that page alive as we go through, and it keeps our memory profile nice and high. Makes for a good demo if you remember to keep it commented out. So the debugging tips and extras, just a couple of slides. This is in session 7. We've this debug toolbar that allows us to artificially suspend, resume, and shut down our application. But in some cases, the application is going to launch for another app. Well, we've got a way for you to debug that too. For share contracts, file pictures, or speech commands, you can right-click on your project, go into the debug tab, and select a start action where when you hit start, it doesn't launch, but it will start your code debugging as soon as your application starts up from another source. And then lastly, this is just fun. We added the option where to investigate your variables using a JSON visualizer. So if you're pulling down data from your network and it's JSON data and you want to take a look at it with a nice clean JSON visualizer, something that's a little easier to read, that's now one of your options. For more, there's a lot more at blogs.msdn.com/b/visualstudioalm/archive/tags/diagnostics. And they've just got a pile of blog posts and a lot of information on diagnostics. The diagnostics team has done a lot of work. So, a whirlwind tour of tooling and diagnostics. And there's a lot more out there. But I hope that gets you started. Hope it gets you using Visual Studio in an effective way and diagnosing the memory problems, the energy problems, and the CPU and XAML UI responsiveness issues that you may have with your application. Up next.
Store, yes. Well, so we're going to take a break, and we'll be back in a short while to take you through the app submission process and working with the store. See you soon.